From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, 'twas the week before Christmas, and all through the house, plenty was stirring, with some huge news for our Fantasy New Year's, with double game week 19, and plenty to sort out for the present too. We've got everything you need for an intense weekend ahead and a very busy month in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, FPL manager. I'm James Richardson, and I'm joined today by a former pro and analyst for the Premier League and Arsenal, Adrian Clark. Hello, Adrian.
Hello, James.
Hello to you. Football writer and author Tom Williams is with us. Hello, Tom.
Hello, James.
And we're also joined by the FPL scout master, Mark Southerns. Hello, Mark.
Hi, James.
Hi. Mark's very Christmassy in a Christmassy jumper.
I am, and the tree as well.
Yeah, and you have a tree in the background as well. Excellent. Excellent. Well, you know what? The festive period is bringing with it the usual fixture pile-up. But, hey, your thoughts so far on the weekend, game week 12 and game week 13, this midweek set of fixtures. Tom?
My instinct is just a sigh.
Okay.
Rather than to actually articulate my feelings, because this game week has been one big long sigh.
Did you remember the Tuesday deadline?
I did remember the Tuesday deadline. I'm not alone in feeling like this, I don't think. It's been a pretty disappointing week across the board. Lots of star FPL names not producing the goods, but I'm particularly annoyed because I took Son Heung-min out of my team in order to accommodate Kevin De Bruyne in anticipation of the guaranteed Manchester City goal fest at home to West Brom on Tuesday night, and then sat right there as De Bruyne did nothing, and then a night later watched Son score Spurs only going at Liverpool. So feeling particularly sorry for myself today.
That's FPL for you. Manchester City in general have been doing this a little bit because the weekend, the derby with United was a little bit of a letdown. Mark, you've got, I think, three Man City players, haven't you? We've all invested in Pep's side, I think, on the basis that there used to be rich returns. But do you think that City is ever coming back, or should we all get rid?
My three City players, two of them are defenders, so that probably tells you how I feel about City, in that I feel that the defence is very strong, and they've really, with Diaz arriving. So I've invested in Walker and Cancelo with the idea that at least one of them plays, because that's the right-back spot, and hopefully on occasions two of them play when Cancelo's at left-back. And I've got De Bruyne, our captain De Bruyne, and I was very disappointed. But again, like, De Bruyne was central to everything. Like, he had that shot at the near post that was saved. He had two big chances for Gundogan and Sterling, which at least one of them should have gone in. And he still got two bonus points, even without a return. So it shows you the value of De Bruyne to City, that even when they're struggling, he is such a hub. Evidence coming through him. And if they, even if they only win a game 1-0 or 2-0, I think he's going to get points. So I'm not going to invest in any other City attackers, but I'm actually quite happy with the three players I've got.
Far be it from me to question your tactics, but that seems like a really expensive set of they may play or not fullbacks that you've got in Cancelo and Walker. Does that make any sense for the returns you're getting?
Well, I think that I was hoping with Cancelo I would get attacking returns because he was creating so many chances. So he's the one that I'm hoping is a differential. I think I've said this before, that most of our midfields and forwards are similar. So it's those players, it's players like Cancelo that can really make a difference. So that's why I've gone for him.
Yeah, if it makes you feel any better, Mark, Cancelo has created the third most amount of chances for Manchester City this season, 19. So he's created more than Sterling, more than Ferran Torres, more than any of the midfielders. Only Mahrez and obviously De Bruyne on 36 have created more. So I think he's a really good pick.
He's a joy to watch as well, isn't he? Like, he's so tidy in possession. And he reminds me of Mahrez in possession as well. Very tricky.
Not if you're an FPL owner with him in your team, he's not a joy to watch. I mean, I agree with you about the stats. That's why I brought him in a couple of weeks ago. But he is the next transfer I'm going to do. It's going to be him out the door.
I mean, there is a glimmer of hope for FPL managers who own City players, in that their fixtures are pretty kind over the Christmas period. Now, the high number of matches only increases the risk of Pep Guardiola rotating his players, and that's always a risk with City. But from sort of mid-January through to the beginning of February, they've got a really nice run of home games. And we saw in the games against Burnley and Fulham, albeit perhaps not so much in the game against West Brom, that they generally do score decent points at home. So I am concerned about the performance the City have turned in their last two matches, but that set of games to come is one of the reasons why I'm sticking with my two City players for the time being.
Who are they, Tom?
They are KDB and João Cancelo.
And what about you, Adrian?
Yeah, they're the two that I've got. I've got a question mark over KDB. We'll probably get to that at the end. I'm contemplating trading him, maybe for Mane, which is on the basis that Mane's gone 8 games without a goal. I'm sure there's got to be a hot streak round the corner. So it's something I'm pondering right now.
In which case, definitely take a look at Andy Carroll because he's going to explode anytime soon.
It's gambler's fallacy, isn't it? That it's like it's got to happen soon.
That's me.
Chelsea also had a couple of poor results since our last show. Adrian, you had Timo Werner in your team. Is he still in your number?
No, I've axed him. He had to go. Just. I've got a lot of faith in him. I think he's a really good forward player that I'm convinced will score a lot of goals, but he's missed some big chances and I don't like where Lampard's using him out wide. He's not getting into the box anywhere near enough. You look at the minutes per goal, 279 minutes per goal for Timo Werner. Giroud is 143 minutes per goal, so he would offer a lot better value based on what we've seen so far. So no, he had to go. And I brought in Danny Ings to replace him because, everything sort of goes through Danny at Southampton, who is such a positive team. Yeah, I had so much faith in Chelsea to carry on scoring goals. And then, of course, the last couple of games that they've hit a big old bump in the road, haven't they? So, I'm comfortable with my choice on Werner, but I think eventually he'll come good.
All right, we'll talk more about Chelsea. They've got West Ham coming up this weekend very shortly. Just a couple of stats on this midweek round. Most transferred in players were Zaha, De Bruyne and Grealish, none of whom so far have delivered, although Grealish goes Thursday evening against Burnley. Most transferred out was Diogo Jota, along with Rodriguez and Bellerin. In terms of most captained, Bruno Fernandes was the most popular choice. I think I'm the only one with him wearing the armband, and he's still yet to play, of course. De Bruyne and Salah also in the mix there. Salah, who has returned, De Bruyne, not so much. And the other two big stories that have come up since our show are both really coming from off-field. One is the Premier League announcing a multiple set of blanks in game week 18. Only 5 matches will be taking place in that round, with a mega double game week to following game week 19. And we'll be doing some top strategizing for that a little bit later on. The other big story is the arrival of Big Sam at West Brom. Oof, what does it all mean? Well, we'll touch on that and more when we take a proper look at game week 14 of this season. And that's up next in the fixtures. That strange noise, listener, you can hear, by the way. Mark, what is it?
It is my washing machine. It isn't my head going through the statistics and variables for the game week. It is actually an actual piece of machinery behind me. But
Nice.
I'd like to think, Mark, it's full of Christmas jumpers, one for every day of the week.
Absolutely is. All identical jumpers with different squad numbers on the back. That's basically
perfect. All right. We mentioned Big Sam arriving at West Brom. Disappointing from Simon Bilic's point of view, potentially very interesting for FPL managers. Big Sam's first match in charge is going to be the Derby coming up this Sunday evening. We've mentioned West Brom defenders on this show before now, but are they now becoming a very realistic possibility? Are you looking to jump on the baggies?
Not immediately. The expectation with Big Sam is that he will tighten West Brom up, make them harder to beat, and that they will slowly creep up the table away from the relegation zone. And if that does happen, then particularly their defensive players become more attractive from an FPL perspective. But I always tend to think when a new manager comes in, it pays to wait at least a few weeks just to see what's going to happen. And also you look at West Brom's fixture list. Big Sam's going to start off at home to Aston Villa, which looks potentially a winnable game, but they're then away to Liverpool home to Leeds, home to Arsenal. They're one of the teams who blank in game week 18. So there's no urgency there. My advice would be to sort of just, you know, keep tabs on things. I mean, Sam Johnstone, the goalkeeper, is almost guaranteed to return however things go because he makes so many saves per game. But I think generally speaking, probably best to just hold back for now.
Sam Johnstone is the one I was curious about, actually. Only 4.5 million, only 1.7% ownership. Adrian or Mark, are you tempted at all?
I am considering changing my keeper. I've stuck with Bernd Leno way too long. So I need to change him. And yeah, it's definitely an option. But I think I'm with Tom. I'd rather sit and wait and see what sort of reaction we get. I think the bonus point is a really good shout because he's so busy that he does pick up points along the way. Just if you're looking for one of their centre halves, Ajayi is definitely their most dangerous threat from set pieces. He's in the Championship. He scored for fun. And he does get on the end of a lot. So he's the one to consider. Furlong's the best fullback in terms of creativity, but you do wonder whether Big Sam might stifle that in the weeks and months to come. So maybe Ajayi if you're looking for an outfield player.
Yeah, I concur with that. I think that when Sam's looking at his would-be goal scorers, who's going to get him goals, he'd probably look at Ajayi as top of the list, to be honest, because we know that Sam loves his set pieces, and that, you know, we expect to see a bounce in terms of defensive stability and set pieces. We expect an impact there. I think Johnstone is the best bet because the trouble is Sam's going to be given a window here, so he's going to be active in that window and bring players in, and so we know that the squad now is going to look very different to the squad that we'll see, you know, by the end of January. So it's difficult to look at who you get long term. The only one pick that is safe though is Johnstone.
We mentioned Johnstone's numbers earlier. Ajayi, if you're interested, is available for 4.8 million. He's only selected by 0.2% of teams. Picked up 5 points against Man City, so. There you go. Interesting shout. Is that your washing machine finishing, by the way?
Yeah, that's a little tune there when it's finished.
Lovely. Speaking of City, they're going to be away at Saints in game week 14. Mark, you were looking to make a move, I think, for one or two of your, or away from one or two of your City players. Are you reconsidering, given the fixtures they've got coming up?
I think the issue is that, you know, I look at my team at the moment. I've got two transfers this week, and there's not an obvious transfer to make. But if I don't make it, I lose it, right? So I should make at least one transfer. But one thing I'm looking at is, can I afford to lose De Bruyne at Southampton? Because I don't think City will score many goals at Southampton. I mean, they're not scoring many goals anyway, and Southampton at the moment are a form side. So I could possibly lose De Bruyne to Son, which would give me the money to move Brewster out to maybe a Giroud. So I am considering that, but simply because I can't see another move, and also because I do think Southampton will keep it tight against City, and City, as we've seen, are struggling to open teams up.
Yeah, I looked at this because you think Saints are a really attacking team. They're involved in that thriller against United, against Spurs at St Mary's, but Manchester City on the road have been boring. 1.83 match goals per game. It's the joint lowest, along with Arsenal. So they've not been involved in sort of matches that have to'd and fro'd in terms of end-to-end action. So yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised to see this as relatively low scoring. One point maybe to consider is Mahrez. He didn't play. He sat on the bench for the full 90, didn't he, against West Brom. He's been in good form. I think surely he starts in this game.
Has he been in good form? Because if you look back at his game weeks so far in FPL terms, he's only returned in two game weeks out of 12, out of 13 now, actually, where he sat out midweek. But yeah, even when he plays, he's only had two game weeks when he's actually returned. And admittedly, in those two, he had some pretty huge points dividends, 12 in game week 3 and then 21 in game week 10. But since then, he's got a 4, a 3 and a 0.
Yeah, he's a bit of a maverick, isn't he? I mean, when you watch him, that's him. He's hit or miss, isn't he? And I guess that translates into fantasy points as well. Yeah, he's a player I really like, but I think for the price, you can get someone that plays week in, week out and delivers over Mahrez. So yeah, but look, if you're considering him for this weekend, I would say the chances are he'll play.
Okay, Man City, though, my kind of contention is that we bought a lot of their players based on kind of prior reputation. But is that City, you know, those massive returns and that free scoring football, is that ever going to come back, do you think?
I mean, that is the big question, isn't it? And I think it's almost the question that will determine to a large extent how good a Christmas period I have in FPL. Because for now, I'm putting my faith in Kevin De Bruyne hitting the sort of form that he has hit in fantasy terms in previous seasons and racking up strings of double-digit points hauls week after week after week. And as I mentioned earlier, City do have the fixtures for that. But I think there is an alternative reality, if you like, or perhaps an alternative outcome where City carry on sort of grinding their way through matches unconvincingly and not really putting teams to the sword. You know, they're really struggling on the goal-scoring front, and I don't think Sergio Aguero's return from injury is going to have a massive impact on that because, I mean, yes, they created the chances to win the game against West Brom, but they're not creating as many chances as they were during those two title seasons. And, yeah, for me, the temptation with De Bruyne in particular is to ship him out and go for Mo Salah. I don't own Mo Salah, and I think he's pretty much the surest thing in FPL. So it is a concern, that City's form, because, you know, in previous FPL seasons, KDB has been an absolute banker in terms of points, but I don't know whether he is anymore, and that's a worry.
Just on the point of past reputation and Aguero, they play Newcastle after Southampton, and Aguero's record against Newcastle is extraordinary. And in FPL terms, I think he's got a couple of hat-tricks for managers as well. So if you wanted to take a punt on any player for game week 15, Aguero at home to Newcastle, if he's fit, is tailor-made for that. And so if you've got your wild card like I have in game week 16, you can afford to take a risk in game week 15. That's a player in a fixture that you might go with on the basis of past reputation.
Nice.
You said that without looking smug, which was really impressive there, Mark.
I didn't. I checked. I was looking very smug.
Now, moving on to Spurs and Leicester this weekend, is Son Heung-min right now the safest bet you can have in FPL? And why is it that Mark and Adrian do not have him in their team? And you as well, Tom.
It's a good question. I've just resisted it because I've gone down the KDB Salah route and I've gone for three premier strikers. That's been my policy. If you look at where I am in the standings, you probably maybe suggest that's been the wrong call. Although I think just poor captaincy choices have really hurt me the most this season. I've got Grealish, you see, as my sort of third midfielder. And I really like Grealish. And I don't want to upgrade him, even though I've got the opportunity to with Son to get a cheaper striker. Yeah, look, he's been brilliant. There's no doubt about it. Do I regret not having him? Of course. I'm kind of stubborn and I'm just looking elsewhere.
Well, Tom, you got rid of him just recently. Is that because of the fixtures they had coming up?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I was on the pod was about 4 weeks ago, and City were just about to embark on that run of fixtures that included the home games against Burnley, Fulham and West Brom. And I said, get on KDB. It's happening. Season starts here. And because I was sort of putting out fires in other areas of my squad, I didn't bring him in. And I've been thinking, I need to get KDB in because he scored a decent amount of points, albeit not in the derby against United. And this week I was like, right, now's the time. Spurs are away at Liverpool. They might score. They're not going to score that many. And City are at home to West Brom. You know, guaranteed points bonanza. So I went Son to KDB. And also I've had Son and Kane in my team for quite a while now. And I tend to try and avoid doubling up on players from any team, particularly doubling up on defenders from the same team or attacking players. Because if they have a game where they don't turn up, and they don't score any goals, then that's two players who haven't performed. And I decided that of the two, I prefer to stick with Kane. And that is why I have made the potentially fatal error of subbing out Son Heung-min.
And Mark?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Tom, I think that's sound logic. I don't think you can beat yourself up about that transfer. I would have done exactly the same. I mean, you looked at the De Bruyne fixture, and I didn't expect Spurs to score at Liverpool. So I don't think that's a mistake. I think it's just bad luck. But on the whole Son and Kane thing, yeah, I mean, I pray at the church of expected goals, right? And if you do that and you look at Son and Kane, particularly Son, you just think, well, he can't keep this up. There's no way he can keep this up. And he keeps keeping it up. That's the problem. So I'm always going to favour the players that give me something statistics-wise. So that is De Bruyne, Bruno, Salah. Kane, very strong statistically, but we can't have them all. But I am tempted to go back to Son for the Leicester game, because I just think Leicester's defence at the moment is quite obliging. So even against a Spurs team that doesn't attack first and foremost, you know, doesn't go for the throat. I still think Spurs have got a few goals in this.
Son Heung-min, 61.1% conversion rate at the moment. I mean, crazy. It's just bonkers.
About the same as his ownership as well. It's over 60%. So it's really damaging to you guys not having him in every time he scores goals. I mean, I'm not telling
you. Yeah, we know.
Not painfully aware of. So Spurs taking on Leicester this time around. Two other questions I have about this. One is, are there other ways into this Spurs side apart from the pretty highly priced Son and Kane? And secondly, for anyone who's still got Jamie Vardy, which I think you might do, Adrian, is it time to get rid? Because isn't this exactly the kind of fixture that Leicester struggle in against a team that's going to essentially sit back, play a low block and try and hit on the break?
It's a good point. And yeah, I think stylistically, it might not be the type of game that suits Vardy or Leicester. But Spurs are at home and they'll have to come at them at some point. I could see this being a more even split in terms of possession. I don't think it will be all Leicester in the game. And Vardy has a great record against the big boys, doesn't he? That shouldn't be forgotten. I'm going to stick with him. I've got faith.
In terms of getting into the Spurs team and looking at players that aren't Son and Kane, I don't see any real standout candidates. In an attacking sense, Son and Kane score all their points because they score all their goals. And you know they're the only guaranteed starters, pretty much. Defensively, I mean, Eric Dier starts most games, as to Toby Alderweireld, but the fullbacks, although when you watch them, you're often quite impressed by them, particularly the way that Sergio Reguilón gets forward on the left-hand side, but Mourinho has rotated them. It's usually Aurier and Reguilón, but he has the option of playing Doherty or Ben Davis, as we saw at Anfield on Wednesday, and that makes me wary about going for Spurs defenders. And of course, you've got Hugo Lloris as well, who is at least guaranteed to start. But for me, yeah, the only ones who stick out are Son and Kane, despite the fact that I have just got rid of Son, of course.
Who, by the way, is looking at Olivier Giroud ahead of Chelsea's clash with West Ham? He's fast becoming a key fancy Premier League asset at Chelsea, even as Timo Werner continues to struggle. Two goals for Giroud in his last three Premier League starts. And indeed, since Project Restart, he is Chelsea's top goal scorer. He's available for a very bargain, 6.7 million. He's scoring points. Why don't we all have him?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking at him. I think the reason why we haven't gone sooner is the expected rotation with Abraham, which didn't happen at Wolves. I was really expecting that because of the gap between the two matches and also Abraham's hat-trick there last year. So I think now I'm taking Giroud very seriously because I've seen now that Lampard is really backing him. And you know, even the concern about back-to-back matches and the condensed fixtures doesn't seem to be there. So it looks like Giroud will get the majority of starts over Christmas. And like you say, it's 6-7. We've got to take him seriously.
Yeah, I agree. I just think you look at Bamford, you look at Ollie Watkins, considerably cheaper, and they play every week. And they are scoring goals. So I'm still not sure about Giroud as a pick. While we're talking about this game, could I just bring up Thomas Suchet? Because I'm a little bit unsure what to do with him. Because every now and again, I've had faith. He's been a great squad filler. But every time he scored, I've had him on the bench. Now, I've had him on the bench because I've got three strikers that I want to pick. I've gone big up front, which means that either Neto or Suchet miss out for me. And Neto this week has scored on the bench. So I've made the wrong choice again. Am I just better off here? I mean, maybe this is a question for Mark. Am I better off, Mark, going for a cheaper option up top and to not have these sort of two rotating midfielders always on the bench?
Yeah, that's what I've done. I've gone Brewster up top, who I don't play at all, and nor does Wilder. So that means that I'm comparing Suchet to a defender. And it's much easier to look at a defender and go, well, they're not going to keep a clean sheet, so I'm going to play Suchet. So it's harder to look at two attackers because they can get returns in any game. Whereas in a defender, it's in your head, it's a bit more predictable. So that's what I would recommend.
I think a lot of people will have one cheapo enabler midfielder. I've got Brighton's Eve Bissouma, who only set me back 4.5 million. But I think if you can make the move to Suchet, it's worth it. And I was going to make the point that, you know, this is an absolutely unique season in terms of its circumstances and the workload on the players. So I think rotation will be an even bigger risk over the next few weeks than in any previous season. So one of my priorities for the weeks ahead is to make sure that every single member of my squad is a guaranteed starter. And with that in mind, I think Souček is a great player to have because he's cheap. He's still only owned by 7.7% of teams, so there's a differential there. And as Adrian has found at his cost, he's having a great season. He scores a lot of goals. And just one further point on West Ham, I'm potentially looking at bringing in Jared Bowen this week, as I haven't yet replaced Diogo Jota. Bowen's been pretty decent form this season, as has Pablo Fornals. They're both priced around about the same point, 6.4 million for Bowen, 6.3 million for Fornals, both under 6% ownership. West Ham have got quite an attractive fixture double up in game week 19, which is the first double game week of the season. They're at home to Burnley and at home to West Brom. It's a little bit of a way off, but if you're looking to make changes, you know, make changes that you won't have to come back and review in the weeks ahead, if you do bring in any West Ham players, and particularly any West Ham attackers, there is that quite juicy double up in game week 19. So I think that makes West Ham players even more attractive.
All right. Of course, they'll have a blank game week in game week 18 before that, which is what makes tactics for that set of fixtures, or that double set of fixtures, very, very hard to get right. We'll be touching on that in a moment or two in the long view. The deadline for this Saturday, by the way, and game week 14, is 11 o'clock Saturday morning, 90 minutes before Palace take on Liverpool. Liverpool have such a... I mean, we all remember Christambul and that, and how things came unstuck for Brendan Rodgers there. But under Jurgen Klopp, 5 from 5 wins in 5 visits. Anybody with any particular interest or moves you're looking to make ahead of that fixture, fantasy-wise?
Well, yeah, I touched on it earlier. KDB, do I move him on for Mane?
Salah,
yeah, for Mane.
Oh, for Mane, right?
Okay. I'm excited by the Mane Salah axis because I don't think many people will have it, and I'm looking at the long view for Liverpool, or actually more the short term view: Palace, West Brom, Newcastle, and Southampton. And in game week 19, they've got a double as well: Liverpool, Manchester United, and Burnley. So yeah, it's a tempter. I'm not sure if I'll do it this week or next.
Adrian, would you also be tempted by the now scoring goals again Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang?
No, I'm afraid not. Not the price, just because he's still very, very expensive. And Arsenal, I mean, Theo Walcott mentioned it, didn't he, in his post-match the other night. He said Arsenal looked fearful, and that's kind of how I saw it as well. They looked really, really nervous, so low on confidence. And they've got two tough games coming up: Everton away, Chelsea at home. And actually after that, Brighton away and West Brom away. When you're not in great nick, Brighton away is a difficult fixture for anyone. And West Brom away with Big Sam, the bounce there, he'll make life hell. And he's got a reputation against Arsenal of trying to sort of get in their face. So, yeah, hand on heart, I wouldn't be touching any Arsenal players probably until the new year.
All right, well, let's get on then next to the week's big double game week news in the long view. Listener, every week we love to do a little bit of forward planning, and we use the Premier League's fixture difficulty rating chart, which you can find over at fantasy.premierleague.com. Compares nicely the difficulty of everyone's fixtures over the next few weeks. And when you look at it, you'll notice a whole load of blank spaces on game week 18, which is starting on the 12th of January. Now, the fixtures that are taking place in game week 18 are Arsenal Palace, Villa Spurs, Man City against Brighton, Sheffield United against Newcastle, and Wolves Everton, which is nice. But none of those teams will have the double game week the following week. So how do we get our teams ready for those two rounds of fixtures? What's the plan, Tom?
My plan is to free hit for game week 18 and then possibly use the January wild card for game week 19, but ideally not. Something I've learned from bitter FPL experience in recent seasons: to be wary of double games, because the temptation is to think that, you know, you can bring in players who have two games and they'll start both matches. But what tends to happen is that managers look to rotate between those matches, and you can sometimes make the mistake of going in too much on teams that play twice and miss out on players who score big despite the fact they're only playing one game. So whereas in previous seasons I would always make a point of trying to cram as many players with two fixtures into my team for double game weeks, I think this season I'll be a little bit cautious and I'll put my faith in the players who are already performing, already in form, rather than going after those double game weeks.
Okay, and free hit the previous week, game week 18. Mark, is that what you would recommend as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the free hit is made for game weeks like game week 18, but what you've got to look at is it worth it? You've got to look at the teams at play, look at your squad, or look at the squad that you can get for game week 18, and decide whether or not getting maybe three or four extra players is going to be worth the using the free hit for, because, you know, it could come in handy for double game weeks further down the line, or even playing on the final day. You know, it's always fun to play the free hit on the final day. So have a look at your squad and look at the fixtures and go, having three or four more players from those teams, will it really make a difference to me? So make sure you're confident in that. And Tom is right, in terms of double game week players, obviously when we're making transfers now, if you haven't got a wild card, you should be looking ahead to that game week 19 and going, right, every one of my transfers should be made with game week 18 and 19 in mind. There's no point in bringing a player who isn't going to play in game week 18 if you're not going to free hit. And also, you should be bringing players in ideally that are going to play twice in game week 19 if you're making transfers and bringing players in. So nothing about your transfers now should be done without looking at that fixture list for game week 18 and 19. That's very important.
Wow. So if you're free hitting, bring in players for game week 19 with a double, essentially. If you've still got your wild card, you're lucky, but you need to use that by December the 28th, which is the deadline for game week 16, a couple of weeks before this. Adrian?
Look, I'm just listening. I like the advice. I'm not sure I can add much to that. I think both guys have come up with some really sort of compelling reasons to go accordingly. I've just sort of totted up who I think I'll have available in the quiet week, match week 18, and I think I have six players. Now, I think that's on the borderline, isn't it? I think. Here and now, I would suggest that I'm likely to free hit there.
So if you have only got that kind of number of players available, is there any way of going through this without using up your free hit or your wild card straight after? I mean, how many points of points hitting would you accept in order to get a team ready for game week 18 and then ready again for game week 19 and not use a chip?
Yeah, that's another strategy, is using points hits, because you've got to look at it and go, well, if a player's not going to play, you know, those 4 points are worth it to me, because I'm not swapping a player out, and therefore that transfer can't go wrong for me. I'm only gaining from doing that. So the other thing is getting a captain. Getting a captain for game week 18 could be all you need. You know, Spurs are at Villa, and they're probably, in terms of captaincy candidates, they're the team that are providing Son and Kane. Now, if you've got one of those that you can captain, and Son and Kane deliver big at Villa, and we saw Son score at Villa last time out of it, I believe, then that might be all you need. Get a good captain, and the points from that could be enough to carry you through. You don't have to worry too much about getting, you know, a Wolves defender in or a Arsenal defender in. And Man City at Brighton as well is the other fixture that stands out for captaincy, maybe. But do we trust Man City? That's the thing.
Yeah, I think Man City are actually at home to Brighton there. Brilliant. OK, well, that's coming up a way away. This week's Twitter question, hashtag FPL pod, heading into the festive period, what's your biggest FPL worry? Dara says, I'm trying to fit Kevin De Bruyne, Salah, Son, Kane, Bruno and Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Jamie Vardy in. Help. Any
so
thoughts?
So are we all, Dara.
Good luck with that.
So are we all. Yeah, and if you figure out how to do it, please let us know.
Nedu says, who can I replace Jota with, please? Best option for Jota replacement?
I'm going to go Jota to Neto this weekend, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I think there's someone at the moment at Everton, Sigurdsson, on all of the set pieces. He's in for James Rodriguez. He's exactly the same price as Diogo Jota. So look, I don't know if he'll stay in the team, but he's playing pretty well at the moment. He's a key man, Sigurdsson, so it's one to consider. Or, if you want to free up 2.4 million, Curtis Jones.
All right.
Attacking midfielder, playing every week at the moment for Liverpool. Definitely their most attacking player in that midfield three. He has scored goals in the past. He could be that lovely little thriller or enabler, as Tom called it earlier on in the season.
Right.
So he's definitely on my radar, Curtis Jones.
All right. Or Suchek, which I think, Tom, is what you were talking about getting done. Excellent. Claude says, premiums. Kane, Son, Kevin De Bruyne, Salah, Fernandes. Who is essential? This a little bit echoes what Dardo was saying before, but out of those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 players, which three would you have? So the list again, Kane, Son, Kevin De Bruyne, Salah and Fernandes.
It's a really hard question.
Yes.
I kind of feel like that's what that's what this season has boiled down to for a lot of FPL managers. Those are the five players that pretty much everyone wants. Right. How many of them can you fit into your team? I've been wondering whether...
Which have you got, Tom? This,
I currently have Kane, KDB and Fernandes.
Right.
And I'm wondering whether if I were to accept getting shot of Harry Kane and were to go for a slightly cheaper forward line, say you rotated Callum Wilson, Patrick Bamford and Ollie Watkins or Olivier Giroud, so players who were all priced 6-point-something million, could you then have a KDB, Salah, Fernandes, Son super midfield? I've not looked into it, but I feel like it might be possible.
Mark?
You basically then have to have a load of defenders from, you know, sort of West Brom and Fulham, but
yeah, you can do it. I've seen teams like that. The only thing is we talk about having strong benches over the festive period, then we talk about ripping our team entirely up in order to get heavy hitters in. So you can't really do both. It's very, very difficult. I mean, for me, I'm fortunate in that I've got the wild cards. I've only got two more game weeks to get through, 14 and 15. So I've only got to think about those 2 weeks, and then all bets are off when I play the wild card. At the moment, I've got Salah, De Bruyne and Fernandes. I am looking at possibly... going De Bruyne out to Son or Mahrez, as Adrian recommended, and then getting Kane in up front again because I miss him. And it's the Leicester game, I think there's something in it for him. But, you know, I'm loathe to keep shuffling these about. I think in a way I'm committed to Fernandes and Salah, I think.
Right.
I think those two are nailed for me. And it's really between De Bruyne, Son and Kane, which one I prefer to the fixture. And I think there's nothing wrong in doing that. If you've got a strong squad and you look at it and think, I haven't got many things wrong with this, then swapping your heavy hitters out fixture to fixture is not a bad way to go. A
couple of other questions on that subject. Anfield Duke says, I can't afford both Kevin De Bruyne and Son. Which one should I get? It's Son, isn't it? I mean, numbers-wise. And Cover Queen says, my big nightmare going into the festive period is Pep benching Kevin De Bruyne. Is that going to be a reality?
He'll be benched at some point, you'd have thought, just with all the games coming up. And given that City, as I said previously, have got some quite winnable home fixtures. So, you know, brace yourselves, KDB owners, because it will happen.
OK.
I think he's got the EFL Cup game between Southampton and Newcastle, though, hasn't he? So he's going to get benched for that. So I think he'll play the league games myself. I don't think he'll play against Arsenal in the EFL Cup, which will mean he'll get the league games. That's what I'm hoping.
And if Pep's got any aspirations of clawing their way back into the title race, he can't really afford to rotate as much as he usually does. He's got to play what he would regard as his strongest team more often than he maybe wants to, I think, anyway.
You're applying logic to Pep's coaching decisions. Not sure. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't use a logic, but just not one that the rest of us can necessarily divine. Pritesh, just to finish off, who to replace Kilman and Mitchell with for a stronger playing bench during the festive period if I already own Chilwell, James and Lamptey? So, all right, some defenders that you can replace Kilman and Mitchell with who are not called Chilwell, James and Lamptey. Who have you got?
I'm in a similar position. I also own Chilwell and Lamptey and I'm looking to replace Tyrick Mitchell. And I'm looking at Burnley defenders. Burnley had a terrible start to the season, but they've only lost one of the last five. They've kept three clean sheets in those five matches and their defenders are quite attractively priced. And they've also got a decent run of fixtures coming up, in particular home games against Sheffield United and then Fulham in game week 16 and 17. And sort of, you know, in the recent history of the Premier League, they are very solid at home. So I'm looking at going for Charlie Taylor, left back, who started pretty much every game this season. Only cost 4.4 million, only owned by 3.4% of FPL managers, so big differential potential. And like I said, decent form plus attractive fixtures equals FPL winner, in my book.
Wise words. I've got Taylor. I've had him a couple of weeks, and yeah, I like him. He's very well priced compared to regular starters within Burnley's back four as well. So I think he's a good bet. Obviously, he's a bit dearer than Kilman and Mitchell. Jamal Lewis is one I've got in the squad. He's only 4.3. Newcastle are letting in a lot of goals though at the moment, so that's not a great recommendation. I mean, Nico Williams at Liverpool is getting some game time. He flies forward a lot. Might get the odd game over Christmas with the rotation. He's at four, so they're the best I can come up with, really.
All right.
Well, I've got one for this week, game week 14, because Brighton plays Sheffield United, and that in itself is a good fixture for any defender. But also Sheffield United are pretty weak on set plays. I think Ramsdale doesn't make them feel confident on set pieces. They've been flapping around with those. So I would look at Webster at 4-4. Brighton haven't scored from a corner this season. So gambler's fallacy again. It's like, well, that's going to happen at some point. Nearly did against Fulham. So Webster at 4-4 for the Sheffield United game, I think, is a good kind of differential.
Is Mark actually going to make that transfer, though? Well, we'll find that out next when we look at everyone's transfers and captain's picks. Good. Time to put your money where your mouths are. Mark, first of all, that move for... Who was it from Brighton?
Webster.
Webster. Are you bringing him in?
I am considering it because I look at my team, yes. And I don't. I've got two transfers, so I've got to use one of them. Otherwise, one of them gets burnt. Mm. Which and normally, you know, this season I'd be like, well, I desperately need transfers. I've taken six, I think. But this week I look at it and think I can't see an obvious move to make. But what I am worried about, I'm going into the Southampton game playing Cancelo and Walker, and it could be that one of those makes way. Pep rests one of them. So I might need my defender off the bench. My defender off the bench is Aylin at the moment at United. I think Leeds concede. So I might go Aylin to Webster just to make sure I've got a decent cover for when Cancelo or Walker get benched at Southampton. So that could be what I do. Very boring, but that's what it is.
Tom?
Yeah, I need to replace Diogo Jota, and I've been sort of hesitating between Jared Bowen at West Ham and Pedro Neto at Wolves, but I think I'm probably going to go for Neto, who's almost a million cheaper and is in really good form at the moment.
Brilliant. What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, good call. I'm thinking about changing my keeper, as I said. Leno fixtures against Everton away, Chelsea at home. I can't see clean sheets there. So Emi Martinez, which is kind of a bittersweet transfer for Arsenal fans. I'm looking at him. He's scored well this season. And I'll get £0.2 million back to spend elsewhere.
That's very nice, isn't it? I myself am looking to clamber belatedly on the Thomas Suchet bandwagon before it finally rolls out of my price range. As for captaincy picks, Tom...
Currently, Harry Kane has the armband, Spurs at home to Leicester. And if it isn't Harry Kane, it will be Bruno Fernandes, Man United at home to Leeds. And not to suggest that I'm in any way hesitant about this, but if it isn't Kane or Fernandes, it will be Callum Wilson, Newcastle at home to Fulham.
Right, Fulham are keeping clean sheets, you'll recall, of late. Mark, what about you?
I'm going with Bruno Fernandes. I just think that I'm expecting that Leeds game to be the handbrake off, both going at each other, lots of goal mouth action and plenty of goals. It probably won't be that at all. It'll probably be 1-0. But I'm going to go Bruno on the basis that when United score, he's normally got his hand in it somewhere. So I think he's a reliable captain pick for this week.
All right, Adrian?
Three options for me. Salah at Palace is the easy pick. Calvert-Lewin against Arsenal is the one that I'm thinking he could cause problems for Arsenal in that game. And a wild card would be Grealish in that Midlands derby at West Brom. West Brom will sit off deep, which will give Grealish a lot of the ball. And look, you know, he's been in the news, hasn't he, for different reasons this week. It wouldn't surprise me if he translated that to a big performance on the field. So yeah, they're my options. I'm tempted to go Grealish because I've got nothing to lose given where I am at the moment.
Well, yeah. Hey, Adrian, what do you think Big Sam's plans are for Grealish? Do you think he'll go man-to-man, Livermore on him or something like that?
He will, yeah, but kick him. I think that might be the plan. No, he'll pack the defence. He'll be a back five, I'm sure. Or if not, it'll be a deep line, compact back four, men behind the ball. Which means Grealish will soak up possession. Can he deliver? That's the big question mark.
But that DCL shout is a very interesting one. Everton at home to an Arsenal team who are without a number of players. Obviously, Gabriel are now picking up the suspension. So, interesting one. All right, well, the deadline is, as we mentioned before, 11 o'clock Saturday morning before Crystal Palace kick off at home to Liverpool. If you want more tips and that, in the meantime, get across to fantasy.premierleague.com. There's loads of articles. There's also the FPL show with myself and Jules Breach going through a lot of the big talking points ahead of this next round of fixtures. For now, that's it for this official FPL pod. Many, many thanks to Adrian, Tom and Mark for being with us and you for listening. FPL Manager, have a super game week and we'll catch up with you next time.